sites of destruction.
I know it.
Because they won't. They want to pick up taxes, they don't want to pick up the whole CPAC and point them, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. It is 5:30. This is a city council meeting, April 9th, my father's birthday, 2025. Not today, I mean, he's been long gone. This meeting is being held at the city offices at 10 North Main Street. Mr. Ron Riddle will offer us an invocation, after which I'll lead us in the pledge. Mr. Riddle.
Our Father in heaven, we are grateful that we have the opportunity to meet this evening as members of Cedar City, as members of the City Council, and as members of our Cedar City staff. We ask that thy spirit will be here this evening and that we can talk about things which will benefit our city in a matter that is pleasing, that is civil, and that is honest, and that we can do those things which will better our area. We are grateful for those who serve in our city and for the things that they do. We are grateful for the blessings that we have. We truly plead with thee to send us more moisture. We have had some good days to help make up, but we would ask that thou would please open the windows of heaven and bless our Iron County area. We are grateful for all we have. We ask thee to bless our first responders, our firemen, and our police department, and also the ambulance service here in our county. We are grateful for all we have. We are grateful for thy son. We pray for guidance and strength. We do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You'll all please rise after me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Riddle.
Mayor, mm-hmm. I would move that we approve the agenda order for this City Council action meeting tonight and the Redevelopment Agency meeting.
Second.
Thank you. I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. It's a pleasure this evening to have some new friends of mine, one at least, that I met recently, and it's with the Red Rock Center. And I'd like you folks to come forward. If would you like to all come, or just Chandra, or who's going? Or is Hayden going to? Hayden, are you the talker?
Yeah,
you can all be talkers.
Well, so yeah, are you guys coming up? Just Chanda.
Please make sure everybody introduces themselves.
Let me start. Yeah, we'll have them. So they came and talked to me the other day with a request that I thought was very unique and interesting. I did not know of this group, and yet they've been here 4 years. But I didn't know them. Maybe you all know them, and I didn't. But anyway, I said, come to council and introduce yourself and tell us how we could help you a little. So they're here.
Yeah, Go ahead, Hayden. I'm Hayden Johnson. I'm the executive director. And I'll let y'all just introduce yourself real quick.
I'm Jeannie Fielding. I'm the independent living and older blind low vision specialist here in Cedar City.
I'm Sandy Young, and I am an individual living coordinator, independent living coordinator, older blind specialist in Iron County, Millard County, and Beaver County. Hmm.
And my name is Shanda Badger, and I am an activity assistant at Red Rock Center for Independence.
So just a quick rundown. I don't want to take up a lot of time. I grew up in Garfield County. My wife's from Panguitch, and I'm from a little town, Tropic. So Cedar City's kind of
love
my second.
Love Tropic.
A dumb
great
bite.
Town.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Tropic's fine. Panguitch, we're not so sure about. But, we're really but Cedar City's kind of my second home. My brother did a church service mission. He has a disability. He did a church service mission here. I lived with him. I went to grad school here at SUU, and we do grocery shopping in Cedar. So that's where, you know what I mean? Cedar City's kind of my second home. I got a lot of family here. My grandpa was principal at Cedar High and for a lot of years, and so I just really care about the community. It means a lot to me, so I appreciate y'all taking the time. But anyway, so we're based out of St. George, where we cover 9 counties here in southwestern Utah. Essentially, what people know us for and what we primarily do is help people get, like, equipment, loan bank equipment, where we'll loan out wheelchairs or power chairs, walkers, that kind of thing, ramps, or we'll build, help arrange to, like, build that stuff at people's homes. So, like, Jeannie and I actually just a couple weeks ago met with a guy to install a vertical lift, kind of like an elevator, like a stair lift for somebody, right? So those are the kind of things that we do on a day-to-day basis, but we do a lot. These guys are doing activities on a weekly basis for folks with all sorts of different disabilities on financial literacy, general independent living, getting jobs, you know, all that kind of stuff. So we always want to do at least three things with everybody that we work with. A, we always want to provide a physical or mental health positive outcome for that person, right? Building a lift so somebody can stay in their home instead of going into a nursing home, that benefits that person. Teaching them financial literacy so they can better budget their money, that benefits that person. That's an easy one. But the other two things that we want to do is A, either provide an opportunity to reduce a subsidy of some kind or increase tax revenue. So helping somebody get a job or helping somebody to reduce a subsidy. Maybe somebody, like, for example, so I talked about my brother. He's on, he has Down syndrome but works two part-time jobs, right? So he's paying payroll taxes. He's still getting some subsidies, getting some Medicaid support or some Social Security supplementing his income. But our goal is just to help people live as independently as possible. So when we meet with people, how can we improve your life? A, but how can we also reduce any subsidies you're getting? Or how can we benefit the community in some way, right? Producing tax revenue or providing opportunities to integrate and work with other folks. So we're here to help people with disabilities first, but we want to help the community as well. So that's kind of the gist of what we do. We do a ton of different things, and it's all individualized based on, you know, if you showed up in our office and said, here's what my needs are, we design services around that rather than try to, you know, show up and say, this is what we can do. We just let you decide what you need and try to work around that.
What does it cost?
So pretty much everything's 100% free. We get some state and federal funding, then we just take donations and run off of donations.
How do people find out about you?
Right here, I hope.
Yeah.
This is kind of
events, booths.
Yeah, most of it's kind of boots on the ground. I mean, we're a relatively small nonprofit, right? Just kind of local. So, yeah, most of it is just community outreach. We try to do things like this or go to the schools, that kind of thing.
So we have a committee, Disabilities Awareness Committee.
Perfect.
If you want to come tomorrow, we meet at noon to 12:30, right? Not right here, but just around the corner in the city offices.
Sure. And that's an ongoing committee meeting.
Every month. Yeah, it's been going for 23
years.
23 or 24 years.
Really?
Helping people with disabilities.
Yeah. Looking for ways or better ways to help with that. So.
And yeah. Councilman Riddle oversees that.
Yep.
Perfect. Yeah.
Who's your grandpa?
Charles Brinkerhoff.
Oh,
well, there you go.
He was a part of it for 26 years.
Yeah,
he was the one
chairman forever.
He started it. He's the one that brought action and said, I want something done about sidewalks in this town.
Yeah, it was. He was the one. I mean, he was just barely, if you want to say, let go 2 years ago.
He was released just a year and a half or something ago after 20
years. I mean, he's been a part of it from the beginning.
Really cool.
Could you, just out of curiosity, do you have any idea of just generally the numbers you serve? I know it changes all the time, but in this 9-county area, how many would you be servicing?
We're about 1,000 folks.
1,000.
And then in Cedar City, Iron County specifically, is about a fifth of that.
Wow. The other thing that Councilman Cox chairs is we have a committee called the Local Homeless Council, and I don't know if you've ever been to any of those meetings, but great place for networking and resourcing and getting your... Because I know I've seen these brochures before at those meetings. So,
perfect.
Yeah. Well, thank you for all you do.
Shonda, tell them what you asked me for. Give them the specifics. What brought you into my office?
I was trying to start an adaptive recreation program, and I asked Mayor Green if he could waive the fees for the aquatic center.
The swimming pool.
And the...
And that's how we got talking.
Ah.
And I said, well, no, I can't waive fees, but maybe there's something we can do.
Yeah.
How often do you use it? Weekly, monthly? How often
expensive.
Do you use it?
Too
expensive. We're partnering with Special Olympics, so I'm right now at the library as far as I can book it out. So we're booked out to October at the library to do indoor athletics and stretching classes and there's not enough recreation for people with disabilities.
Sure.
And Mayor Green said it, there's no gyms. I mean, I was going there to find out, is there a gym? Is there somewhere we can just go meet? There's nothing.
Yep.
Yeah. Are you looking for the sponsor for the aquatic center?
We have a plan B right now, but thank you. That's very nice. The aquatic center, the room we'd need is $20 an hour.
How many hours do you need it?
We'd probably get it for 2 hours.
Well,
we're growing, so we're going
to... Is it three times a week? Is it twice a week? Is it...
Right now,
I mean, you're talking to a potential donor right there, so don't look a gift horse... There you go.
Based on $40 per, did you say a month?
Yes.
Yeah.
A visit. Every time they use it, it's $20 an hour, and they need it 2 hours.
We'll sponsor it for a year.
Just round it up to 500.
Yeah, just round it up to 500, Tom.
Yeah, we're in a very small office right now, and we are
about a 550 now. I got a 55 out of 60.
I'm a
part of it,
too.
Okay.
She told me that she had 10... kids 0 to 24 of age, but 140 adults above 24 years of age that they provide assistance to all the time on an ongoing basis.
Yep, there's kids 10 to 24, and I teach independent living skills. So we'll teach them how to sew a button on a shirt. We'll teach them how to wash clothes, how to clean their room, how to clean the kitchen.
How to dress.
So how to dress, the job skills. We do a unit on looking for a job, setting up a resume.
Have you done any work in contact with John Oglesby at the Summer Games, Utah Summer Games?
We are in touch with Maggie Whipple right now, and we're working with her. This will be our first year participating.
Great.
Have you affiliated with SNAP at all? Are you familiar with the special needs activity? They basically meet, I think, once a month, and then they have youth in the area that go and help them do. Anyway, it's called the acronym SNAP.
No.
So we can get with you there. You didn't mention you had Glendale and Alton roots. I mean, those are your good roots there. So. Well, Jonathan,
we hold
Heaton
that against
my great great grandfather. So.
Oh
yeah, yeah, for sure.
Well, congratulations on what you're doing, and thanks, Tom, for stepping up, and I think that's great, and I would like to see you be successful. I think there's a huge need, and you can do what you can do with what you get in funding, and I think that's commendable. You didn't really come to me looking for funding. You came to me to waive a fee. It's the same thing. And so let us take it from there. But thank you for coming tonight. I did not. I'm curious. How many people of the council members are in the room knew of the Red Rock, what is it called?
Yeah, I don't know.
You knew of it before, two of you?
Well, only because of the local homeless council.
Yeah.
There.
They've helped some of my previous tenants.
Yeah, best kept secret. Best kept secret.
Do connect with Councilman Riddle on his meeting with the Disability Action Team.
Yep. Super good. Thank you very much, and thanks for coming tonight.
Thank you. We're very nice. Thank you.
You're right. Good job. Thank you.
Yeah, we're pretty nice most of the time.
Thank you.
You know, I'm sure most of, if you've been, I don't know, checking things today, the mine did close.
Yeah.
It's been mining iron, and because they ship it to China, and I think if you watch the national news, you'll know why they don't think they can ship to China today. So I guess it's sort of understandable that they have problems and are trying to address them. And that has an effect, and we'll watch that, and we'll be mindful of those who are now instantly unemployed. That was the plight of the mine when I was a child. They would get to about the day after Thanksgiving, 4 weeks before Christmas, and have a major layoff every year. And it was always tremendously devastated back in the 50s and 60s.
Yep.
Mayor, why does that happen?
Well, they sell the iron ore to China, and there's a huge tariff being put on everything going to China and everything coming from China, and there's a little tariff war going on in the national government. If you
can call it that.
If you,
well,
want to check that, follow the news, and Mr. Trump, you'll see what that all does. I know you're a good Democrat, Christian. Good for you, buddy. There needs to be some of them.
Opposing this for a long time.
Thank you. I don't have any. There's something else I have, but for the life of me,
it'll
I can't
come to you.
Think of it. But thank you, council members. I did look at this, Mr. Phillips, and I don't have any problem. Have you asked these people? Or
no, we're waiting for your okay.
Okay, I see no problem.
Okay.
Do you want to ask them? Do you want me to ask
them? Either way. Either way you want
to
do it, sir. Okay.
That'd be great. Thank you.
I just have a couple of things. I don't know. I see that Ken is here, and it's interesting because I was thinking today about the West Canyon Park and the renovations going on there with the Rotary and their commitment to help update the park and alterations. And we just have a couple of issues there. I went over today and saw it, and we'd have to make some adjustments, I think. And I don't know where we'll go from here. But they've done a lot of improvements to the West Canyon Park, but there's some liability issues relative to children on a couple of things that have been done. So they're going to have to regroup and do a couple of changes to it, I think. And I'll leave that to the experts to take care of that. But I want to make the council aware of it. It does look good, but there are some issues for little ones. And then I just want to let everybody know that Wayne Niederhauser, I don't know if you were going to bring that up or not, but he's going to be in town next Tuesday. I have it on my calendar. He is the chair of the Utah Office of Homeless Services, and he's coming down for a site visit and will be here the better part of the day. I haven't heard any of the agenda details, but he's touring our Iron County Care and Share, the Canyon Creek Services, and assessing where we are in taking care of the underserved and the homeless in our community. And he's a former state senator. He's a great guy. He's very knowledgeable. He and his wife, since leaving the Senate, where he was a state senator, they serve in a homeless shelter. They go and serve food every week at a homeless center. And he's just a terrific guy. Anyway, that'll be here next week. And when I get an agenda, I'll make sure that I share it with all of you and see what's going on. And Mayor, I'm in the same boat. I had one other thing, but it's gone. So I don't know what it was.
When I find mine, I'll find yours.
Very good.
Industrial Road is kind of exciting. I don't know if you paid attention.
Yeah,
the curb is up.
Oh, is the curb in? I didn't go by.
I love that curb machine. I just can sit there and watch it.
It is nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff happening, isn't there, Ken?
So Ken just told us, too, that the community come together to finish up the money that was needed to finish the Cross Hallway Event Center.
Oh, great.
So they'll come in and make a more specific announcement.
Oh, that's great.
So that's is awesome.
Fantastic.
I had a couple of things. I had some citizens reach out to me that live in what's the neighborhood across? Sunset Canyon, across from Diamond Z Arena.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a couple of things they wanted to talk about. One, and I think this has been discussed before, but no steps have really been made in anything. The citizens have said it would be really nice, as people who live right there close, and I think and everybody in the city would benefit from this, if we could move forward, whether that be this budget season or next, to start planning on some type of like a digital marquee or something out on the road that would kind of show the calendar of events. So those people, at least that live there, can kind of know what to expect when big things come. I think it was the carnival that kind of brought it on, because they had no way. I mean, it is what it is, right? And the carnival's going to happen, and those things are going to happen, and they do a great job over there at keeping it booked. But they just said, is there any way for, like, the city to put something up that
if
would...
If you see a Ferris wheel, there's a carnival.
Well, that would definitely... And then going along with that is... And Chief's not here tonight, but... some of you might have noticed this, but just the vehicles for sale over there.
Oh, my gosh. I went by last night. It looked like a used parking lot.
Yeah. Somebody said today, she said, you could go by there today and you could buy a car, a truck, a semi, a flatbed trailer, a boat, an
RV.
An RV. A four-wheeler, a side-by-side. Like, there's one of everything.
Oh, and a motorcycle.
Yeah. I mean, you could buy one of everything.
Where's so, that? Canyon View High School?
No, this is right in front of Diamond Z.
On Cross Hollow Road, right in front of Diamond Z.
That's also a good lot. I didn't know that car lot was there.
Oh, it's the biggest one of them, I think. It's
the longest one.
It's the longest one.
It's the longest one.
For sure. And so I know that obviously our code enforcement are worked and they've got a lot going on, but if there's any way we could...
I would really like to see more code enforcement.
Yeah, we need to make sure that on a weekly basis they're going down that road. They go by and they take care of it.
I think it's 12 hours. On a vehicle for sale, is it 12 hours? Paul, do you know? Chief's not here, but...
2 days.
It's 24.
Well,
I don't know, it's 24 hours.
24.
Is it?
Okay.
No, that's a vehicle that's not for sale.
Obviously, I don't know.
it's
I know it's different than a vehicle that's not for sale.
But it's not as long as people think.
Yeah, it's pretty short. That's why I think it's short time. 12 hours. It's less than a day.
If we could just make sure that the chief gets this information so he'll get looking.
They have to be there long enough for me to take a good look at them, though.
There's a lot for sale.
That's where I always buy mine at.
So what you do is buy the semi, and then you could fill it up with all the things that you buy.
All the cars?
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know. I parked mine the wrong way on my street one night, and I got a ticket. So I don't know why we can't afford code on these other things. So.
You're right.
That's a good point.
And Mayor, I don't know. We have a member of our youth city council here, and I don't.
Yes.
She's one of our quieter ones. I don't know if she wants to come up, but we have a lot of things coming up. Do you have some of those dates in your head, just to inform council of some of the things you're working on?
Come on up and introduce yourself, and let us know.
Price is right. Sorry.
Randall
come
looked
on
it,
down.
Randall looked it up. It's 12 hours.
12.
Oh, 12.
Okay.
Okay.
So now we all know.
12. Yep.
Just introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Elena Roundy. I'm on the UC Council. Just a couple.
And just one thing. She has been coming to.
She has.
Yep. She does.
Good.
Just like the projects that we're going to be working on. Okay. We're going to be zip-tying flags to poles for the Spring Fiesta on April 21st here in the City Hall. And then, like, the CPR training.
Yeah, the CPR training.
We'll be doing CPR training and having a tour of the Cedar Fire Station on April 28th. And then we'll be volunteering at the Spring Fiesta on May 2nd. There's the Teen X Space Race on May 3rd, that council members like are helping to get the word out about that. And then, let's see. And as a service project, we'll be going to the Stonehenge Senior and Rehabilitation Center on May 20th. Those are just a couple of our upcoming.
Okay. So is your dad Brew?
No.
No, it's not Andrew. Who's your dad?
My dad is Lee.
Lee. Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
I had you the wrong family.
We have a lot of things coming up.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Thanks. I mean, I love the flag out in front of the building out here. I wish it was one size bigger.
Well, next one, let's order it bigger.
It needs to. What's that?
Let's order it bigger next time.
I think we've got to get one. And it needs to be smaller than the American flag, of course, but not, but not that much smaller than the American flag. It's on our flagpole, so.
I agree.
I'd like to do that. Thank you. Wait just one second, gentlemen. I'm going to ask the staff if they have anything. We're going to let them go first, sir, and then we're going to come right to you.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, and Staff. Ken Nelson, just with Leisure Services, just a couple information things. So as the mayor was talking about that flag, we have one flying at the Aquatic Center. So, Scott, on the next one, 5x7 is what you need to order.
What are these, 4x6?
I think they were 3x5.
Oh, really?
So we fly 6x10s.
Yeah.
And that's why they look like they look. So I just when you said that, I thought I'll just give you the dimensions.
No,
thank you.
Right now.
We don't have to climb the pole.
Don't have to measure, no. We just got to put a new rope up here, so we don't want to climb it again.
Thank you.
The lake on the hill... The water department is treating that for algae tomorrow, so it will be closed. So it's a 24-hour chemical thing, just in case somebody says, hey, the lake's closed. Well, it is for a day while those guys do their treatment.
Hey, Ken, well, we're talking about the lake at the hill. There was a lot of posts on social media last week about all the catfish that died. Do you know what? Did DWR come up?
DWR deal with all the fish. They get mad if we try to overstep our bounds. But
what happened? Just they got too hot, the water temp got too hot too fast.
They did spring, and the eagles had a good time. So
okay.
It's the cycle of life.
Yeah.
No, I just... There was just a lot of posts about
it. Yeah, just trying to know so you can respond to the posts.
The air, after the winter, it's kind of the DWR says they kind of just have low oxygen at that time of the year. So the eagles take advantage and they come clean it up. But, yeah. Mm. I know people say that they're poisoning the water, but they really don't understand nature. So it doesn't do that, but it's just kind of messy. But
so fish that wash up on shore, are we even allowed to touch them, or is DWR say don't?
We're supposed to contact DWR.
And that's it, and they come take care of it.
They deal with it. Okay. They want to know why they died. They want to do their natural resource stuff. So
okay,
we make calls to them. Mm. The lake is interesting. It has lots of hands in the cookie jar.
Yeah.
Water department, DWR, us, engineering. It's got lots of working mechanisms. So it'll be open Thursday. Or, sorry, Friday. Got to wait till Friday, Christian. And then if you notice, the Bicentennial Park parking lot got restriped. So I know it was...
I did notice that.
It was an issue last year. People were parking every direction. But now drive by and look. It looks good. So just a couple information.
Oh, hey, well, since you brought it up, I actually took my kids there the other day, and the swings at Bicentennial Park are so loud and squeaky, it's almost deafening. Can we grease those?
Yeah, we can get some good stuff on them.
I was pushing my kids, and I'm like, I can't get off the swing. I can't push
it. I'll holler at them.
It is so loud.
Ken, while we're here, while you're there, correct me if I'm wrong, but the new Fiddler's Canyon Park, or is it the redone Discovery Park? I can't remember. We are going to have some adaptive playground areas there, aren't we?
Both.
Yeah. Both places.
At Fiddler's, for sure.
Yeah, because when she brought it up, I got thinking that I know in some of our new stuff, we are going to have that in our parks.
The pieces in play are already, I think there's 33 pieces at Discovery.
Okay.
And then we're planning on the same kind. Won't be that many, but they'll still be pieces.
Right, but they'll be at the new park as well. Okay.
Every Discovery reopened. It's getting close, isn't it?
Yes. We're shooting for... The guys come back in from Big T next week, so they should tighten.
Are we going to have like an official?
It's more of a soft opening because it won't have all the trees and the stuff done that Anthony's got to do on his end. But we'll open it up for play and the people can enjoy the new features. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Other staff. Okay, we'll open up public comments, business comments now, the public comments. Gentlemen, would you like to come up?
I'm Dan Dale, and this is Stephen Weiss. We represent the Parkinson's Group here in Cedar City. Gosh, been 8 years, going on 8 years. It's amazing. Let me tell you what's happened in the last 1 year. In the last year, there have been 90,000 new diagnoses of Parkinson's in the country. It's now the fastest growing neurodegenerative disease that there is. And it's even surpassed Alzheimer's as far as new diagnoses are concerned.
Thank you, Stephen.
We have a nice write-up, a very nice write-up in Iron County today about our program and what we do.
Thank you.
And we're going to have an event. We're going to have an open house coming up next Tuesday from 1:30 to 3:30 at the SNAP Gym in Cedar City. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to have you folks come see a little bit about what we do, but participate. There'll be a chance, a little interactive component to this. You can put on some boxing gloves and you can try working on the heavy bag or the speed bag. We have fitness lights in there. Really, everybody loves a fit light. So we'll give you a little taste of what we do to stay alive. And I think you'll really enjoy it. We'd love to have you come. And this is Steve. Do you have anything you want to say?
We've been working on this for about a month now.
Can you use the microphone?
Got to use the microphone for the people online.
We've been working on this, I guess you would call it a open house, to show the public and what people with Parkinson's go through when they sign up for a boxing-type training. And so we're looking forward to inviting you folks and anybody else in the community that's interested to come down to Snap Fitness and see how we work ourselves out to counteract this Parkinson's disease. It's been It's been shown that that boxing training is the best exercise of all the types of exercise there are for Parkinson's. And so we're glad that we have Dan here that helps us get the right equipment and oversees the training program with the students from SUU. And we look forward to you folks to enjoy that too as well.
The program itself actually started out as a community joint project between the community and SGU, and it still is. We use the rural, or no, no longer rural, Utah Health Scholars program up at SGU as to provide us with students who can be volunteers. And we even have one student who elevated all the way up to head coach. But he has to go through a lot of training to make this head coach. And so it's been good for the university, it's been good for us. It gives the students some hands-on experience they wouldn't otherwise have. It's understood if you're going to come to the program, the Southwest Parkinson's Fitness Program, it's understood that you're going to work with students and they're going to work with you. You're going to have your picture taken once in a while. You're going to be evaluated. And your Parkinson's, hopefully, will be held in abeyance. I know I appreciate it. It's given me 8 years.
Yeah.
And we would really enjoy seeing you. It would be great.
Thank you so much.
I had the opportunity to go about 4 years ago to one of your open houses, and I was amazed at all of you and how that boxing just makes such a difference. It's just incredible. So thank you. Thank you. Keep up the fight.
Did you box with Gordon Staker? Do you know Gordon? Do you know Gordon Staker? He was down there boxing away. No, apparently not. But it does. There's lots of people. I have a couple of friends that they go regularly to do their boxing. You bet. Really helps them.
Rock Steady Boxing has.
Dan, pull the mic closer to you. Pull the mic closer to you, Dan. There you go. Just pull that mic closer to you. You're all right now. You're good.
We're also an affiliate of Rock Steady Boxing. And Rock Steady Boxing now has 50,000 members in the United States and 14 foreign countries. Mm. Because what's happened is it appears as though tough exercise, aggressive exercise, that seems to be able to slow the progression of symptoms of Parkinson's. When nothing else will. Medication, there is no medication that will even slow the progression of it, much less stop it or reverse it.
Yeah.
But we found that rigorous exercise, rigorous physical fitness actually can slow the progression as long as you do it often and you work hard when you do it. That's kind of tough news. It's a lifelong commitment for those of us to have Parkinson's.
Thank you.
We really appreciate having the program.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming and sharing your message.
Thank you.
And bringing us this brochure. Thank you. Any other public comments tonight? Seeing none, we'll go to the agenda. We'll start with the consent agenda. Item number one, approval of minutes dated March 19th, 21st, and 26th. Item number two, ratify bills dated March 28, 2025. Item number three, approve an agreement with the State of Utah for the Cooperative Wildlife System, CWS, Participation Commitment, PC. Item number four, approve the bid from Doug Hunt Construction in the amount of $174,250. Dollars for the Canyon View Detention Pond Landscape Restoration Project. And item number five, approve a change order number two for civil Science for Phase 3R Design of the Cemetery Renovation Project in the amount of $30,000. And item number 6, approve change order number 8 for AIP 049 Airport Terminal in the amount of $27,019.
Mayor, I would move that we approve the consent agenda as read.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. That's unanimous. Item number 7, consider an ordinance amending the zone from multiple dwelling multiple unit R3M to SUU Housing District, SHD, for properties located in the vicinity of 366 Dewey Avenue.
Good evening. Darrell Brown, Watson Engineering. So I know last week we had a good conversation, but I don't remember who brought it up, but this piece just to the north of our piece, someone had mentioned that was a parking lot.
It's a home right now.
It's a home right now, but I didn't know what the plan was for that, but I knew that it wasn't a parking lot. What I understand from the contractor is that they're wanting to build a duplex here on this property that we are seeking a zone change for. So just wanted to let you know that.
And you can do that in R3M now, but yep. With the...
We've got the additional parking and setbacks, building height and things like that.
Yep.
As far as building heights go, with this duplex, I think it's a single story, so nothing to worry about there. But are there any other questions or any other concerns that we can discuss or talk about?
No, I mean, my only thoughts on this are, the argument can be made both ways, that the SHD was created for, getting multiple pieces together and building big. Some people say they like it where it can do the smaller. For me, I'm of the opinion that if the ordinance allows it and our general plan calls for it, I mean, there's times where I like to stand behind our general plan and don't allow zone changes. So I can't stand behind the general plan and say, well, I don't think we should do a zone change because the general plan says we shouldn't. But then when the general plan says we should, I also say no. That kind of seems... So in that case, I'm glad to hear that it's just going to be a duplex and that they're not going to try and, shove a whole bunch of units on there. But I do know that once it's zone changed, they can do whatever they want with it, with that zone. So that plan could change and it could end up being something different, but that's all part of it.
If you do know anyone who wants to try to do like a 50-story on something this way, I've got some cows to sell them if they want to lose money. I mean, that's an easier write-off than trying to do 50 feet on something like that. Sure.
Yeah. But I don't think 50 feet makes sense here.
No. It would be hard.
It matches the plan. I do wish we would revise R3 to make stuff like this easier. I think this belongs anywhere in R3, but...
A lot of what, I'm sorry?
Like being able to redevelop a small lot, add an additional unit, I think that belongs in R3. I think we should revise R3 so you don't have to do SHD to do this, but that's a separate issue. That's not before us tonight.
Right. Yeah. Well, he could build the duplex. He just would have issues with the parking and the setback. Well, right.
Yeah. I've looked in. There was another one that it's not in the student housing area. That
you're talking about the one that was on 300 West?
No. This was just someone who had reached out. Oh. That was older part of town, but R3, and just the way some of these redevelopment projects work, there's 20 feet of no man's land in the back, right. And SHD helps address that.
Yeah, we've even talked about it before, you and I have. We need to look at probably, in my opinion, I mean, we have stuff that's zoned R3 that's like 500 square feet short from even being able to do a second unit. So why have something zoned multiple unit if you can't even do multiple units?
Right.
So, but that's a whole different discussion. So,
yep.
I would move that we approve the ordinance amending the zone from R3M to SHD for the property at 366 Dewey.
Second.
I have a motion, a second, starting with Mr. Phillips.
Nay.
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number 8, consider an ordinance amending the zone from master plan development, MPD, to dwelling one unit, R21, dwelling multiple unit, R3M, and central commercial
for properties located in the vicinity of 2604 South Old Highway 91.
Oh, this is Sugar Canyon.
Oh, that's right.
Cedar Trails.
Next one.
I'm not seeing anybody here. Nothing has changed from last week. It's the same thing. It's in compliance with the original MPD, RDO. Sorry, we used both phrases in this case. Well, we said MPD is part of it, and then RDO is the other part. So this is probably in that transition stage. Yeah, I think short of, I do think it's a shame we have to go through this where, you know, they have this zone that's since been repealed, so they have to go through a zone change, but it's really not. And anyway, it would be nice if we could just go through all the MPDs and say, look, it was planned for this. This is what it is. But short of that, I mean, yeah.
Do we have a lot of them still on the books? I know we have the one out there on the south end of town that's undergoing right now.
I'm not sure. I haven't counted them up. But even on the RDOs, to be honest, we don't usually do the zone change when we approve the RDO.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's a later step. Right. I'm not sure why we do that. Annexation-wise, for example, state statute and city ordinance actually prefer we do it at the same time, and we frequently still don't. Mm-hmm. And we leave it as annex transition, even though we already know what we want.
And I'm not sure. I mean, I get what you're saying, Councilman Melling, but at the same time, I'm not sure that the previous MPD even matched up with what we approved as the current RDO. So
right.
Whether this was AT or R1 or whatever it was currently zoned, going to the RDO, it has to get... We'd have to do this, I would think. My question, though, Randall, is as long as they don't have any variances or anything, this is the last we would technically see of this anything in these pods going forward.
Let's sure hope so.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the last we would see of anything because
Correct.
All the site plans from here on out, everything will be.
Yeah, as long as they come in and match everything that our ordinances require for those zones, you should not see this again.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, following with the RDO, which is already approved, I mean, I'm fine with this. My only concern was still, and it turns out we're not quite there, but as we go further out into Schertz, I do start to worry about the 5 mile.
Yeah, I think that's
fire.
Fair.
I start to. It's just something I want to know, be known that it is a concern.
Well, and I worry also about transportation, but we're fortunate this project is right on Old Highway 91, so we don't have that same concern we do in some of the other places.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, you may.
I'll be quick. Please. Tom Jett. So I've been coming here a lot of years. Jerry Sherritt had a policy, the mayor back in 01 to 08, I think, something in that range. He had a policy. We're seeing more and more of this where items come on the agenda, but they're not supported by the applicant or their representative. And I think our council and our and administration needs to consider if they're not here to represent themselves, and this is a perfect example, I think it should be we should consider removing it. I've seen it more and more and more where staff has been advocating or, you know, for the applicants, and I think if they're not willing to show up or have their designee show up, and I hate to be a prude, but I just don't know.
No,
if
you don't.
No, I really do. But I think it's important that the applicant or their representative come.
Well, they came and pled their case last week.
They did.
Yeah, they did.
Yes.
Yes.
That's correct. And if it was on consent agenda, I could see them not showing
up. I think it might have been, but it's an ordinance.
Yeah.
Okay. So it can't be.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, in this case here,
so
I
could
agreed.
Not.
Sorry.
I'm wrong, but in
I think what he's getting to is if we had questions, we'd have nobody here to answer
yeah.
them.
Yeah,
correct.
I get it.
And so I've just given you, I meant to say that a couple weeks ago when the similar situation happened.
No, I think you bring up a good point. I think, as you said, if it's a consent item, that's very different and because it's already there to be approved. But in this case, we did have to put it down here because that was an ordinance change. But you bring up a good point.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
These guys from out of town, I know that.
So with that...
Mayor, I would move that we approve an ordinance amending the zone from master plan development MPD to dwelling unit R21, dwelling multiple units R3M, and central commercial for properties located in the vicinity of approximately 2604 South Old Highway 91.
Second.
I have a motion second, starting with Mr. Mellon.
Aye.
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 Thank you. Item number 9, consider modifications to the Cedar City Ordinance 26-III-3, I think, -2,
parentheses G, and 26-III-23G, and pertaining to building height limitations in residential zones.
Again, no one here.
It made sense.
Good evening, Tom Chet. This came to Planning Commission. There was a lot of discussion over the height here. If you recall, I think it was our fire chief addressed this issue last week. We're never going to have a perfect solution for the every rig's going to fix every situation, and technology and the desires for different styles of homes constantly are changing. It's just like everything else. I think we need to stay current with the times, and it's impossible to be immediate. But since this ordinance was written 30 years ago or longer, we haven't.
I can tell you what the fire department's solution is. Fire sprinklers in every house.
We don't want to do that.
No, we don't.
Residential.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
that's the.
But if people want to take the risk on building a home and their home might burn down as a result of their, then that's just a risk that
it is
that we take in this free country of ours.
It is. Yep.
And again, this is in, so this would apply in R1, R21, R22, R31. And
I think RNZs are the other
ones. And rural estates.
Yeah. So any of those that we have that one two-story limitation, you're not going to have to worry about it for apartments and townhomes and stuff like that.
Because they're well done on laying out all of those zones.
I could have just said everything other than R3M and SHD, but that
you could have.
Sounds cooler when I go the other way. Thank you.
It was cool.
Well, Mayor, I would move that we modify the Cedar City Ordinance 26-3-2G and 26-3-23G pertaining to building height limitations in residential zones as discussed in the previous meetings.
Second.
Did we pick a number?
We did.
24
feet.
24 is what we put in there.
24 feet.
Okay, very good.
I'll add that into the motion.
I have a motion and a second. This, again, an ordinance starting with Mr. Riddle.
Aye.
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 Thank you. Item number 10, consider an ordinance annexing 33.08 acres of land located approximately 3,700 west, 600 north. It's Phil Smith's project.
You can stand up and speak.
Apparently there were other things.
Certainly there's something better going on in town we don't know about.
Nothing.
I nothing.
Good answer.
Tournament's over, so what is everybody? Nobody here.
So nothing has changed from last one. You will have on your agenda for next week the development agreement that we briefly mentioned.
It talks about the wall, access road. And
correct. So, again, we're not asking you to do the annexation contingent upon that because that is not a requirement of the annexation.
Correct.
It is simply something that Mr. Schmidt has offered, and we are happy to accept that offer he has made.
Sure.
So I move that we amend the general plan from RE residential to business light manufacturing.
Oh, hold on. Wrong one.
Wrong one.
Oh, wrong number 10.
Oh, sorry. Annexing the 33.08 acres of land located at approximately 3,700 west, 600 north.
I'll second that.
I have a motion and a second starting with Mr. Cox.
Aye.
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 Did I hear my last aye?
Aye, sorry. But I thought I said it, but
I'm sorry.
I was reading the next one.
I'm deaf.
Sorry. No, you weren't.
He didn't say
can
it.
Can I move on the other one?
Item number 11, consider an ordinance amending the general plan from rural estate residential RE to business light manufacturing, an ordinance changing the zone from annex transition AT to light industrial manufacturing INM1. For properties located in the vicinity of 3,700 West and 600 North.
So moved.
There you go.
That's so moved. Do you have a second?
I will second that.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Wait a minute. Aye. Hold the phone.
Roll call.
Hold the phone, Mr. Wilkie.
Aye.
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 That is unanimous. Item number 12. Consider modifications to Cedar City Ordinance 26-V-2 pertaining to parking requirements for certain types of residential projects. Mr. Jett.
Just real quick, one typo that was pointed out to me. I apologize. Apparently, I got a little aggressive on my zeros. It's a 1,000,000. There should be only 1,000 square feet, not a bizarre 10,000. Sorry, Tom. You almost got 10,000 square feet.
Oh, no.
So, Tom Jett, in speaking with council members and some friends, we're trying to bring the square footage down to closer to about 760 square feet on these units. We're trying to make it so we can satisfy everybody, but we can't satisfy everybody. We have to kind of pick an audience and who we're going with. I think the 1,000 square feet is a reasonable number, but on our particular projects, after visiting and Scott Phillips kind of was very passionate about, you know, doesn't want big homes, and that's reasonable. We're trying to
I like big homes, but not in a tiny home community.
Yeah, and that I should have articulated better. But, but I think this is reasonable. All we're trying to accomplish here is create something that's attractive and usable. And sometimes the two bump heads on smaller projects. And so, but I thank you for your consideration.
So if I'm reading this correctly, so if it is a multifamily development that's detached, so a tiny home is what we're going to call it, and it's less than 1,000 square feet, if they did happen to get three bedrooms, they could do that, but only two of the spots can be tandem per unit. Is that right, Randall?
If it's a two-bedroom, they can only do tandem.
Yeah, if you have a three-bedroom, you can't do tandem as this is worded right now.
You can't use tandem at all.
Correct. Right. That was the way I understood you directing me. We can change that, but that's the way that this is worded right now. He'll still get the advantage of the parking, the one per bedroom, but the tandem part, as it's worded here, would only be allowed for one and two-bedroom units only.
See, because when I just read it, one parking space per bedroom with one and two-bedroom units only, up to two tandem parking spots per unit are allowed.
When associated with a specific unit.
I don't know. I read it still as if I had a three-bedroom unit, I could do a three-bedroom unit, but I could only have only...
It did specify.
But you can only... Okay.
Yeah, the placement of that comma...
Of course you do. You're a realtor.
I know.
Makes it so that's its only application. I'm happy to take any suggestions.
If Randall and staff say it's okay, then it's fine.
Yeah, it's just...
Well, Randall says. I don't know about the rest of staff, but... Because I'm the nerd that wrote it.
If Randall says it's okay.
Okay.
I'm going to record that and keep it.
Well, is there any other... Can I make a motion?
If I make one additional...
I think when it comes to housing stuff, I mean... Yes, we want things to look nice, but at the end of the day... If we have any gaps, it's not us who suffer, right? It's
no.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, and again, I've said this before, but Mr. Jett, more than any other organization, you do better and more to house the unhousable of Cedar City than anyone else or any other organization. So I appreciate your efforts.
I appreciate
and
that.
And even though, you know, we butt heads sometimes too, I mean, and it is a line that we try to draw. We try to make this a good place for everybody. But when we draw those lines, we also have to be sure we're not drawing people out of the community entirely.
Yeah.
My last comment and why I kind of wanted to actually support the 1,000 square feet was, and I had mentioned this to Councilman Cox last week, what I don't want to see in our ordinances whenever possible is I hate to see where we leave holes, where something is not allowed. And it's we allow 1,000 square feet and up, and so if we'd have done 750 only, then I feel like we'd have this 250 square foot hole where it's like,
that's fair.
We wouldn't allow homes at all between 750 and 1,000. And so if our one goes down to 1,000, I think this should come up to 1,000 so that anything.
That differentiates them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So. Well, and I think in that spirit, too, Mr. Jett was wanting to do a particular project, but he also wanted to make sure that this ordinance change was good for the whole community who wished to do small developments.
Yeah.
So that allows that to happen regardless of whether yours end up 780 or 825 or whatever they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
You might want to take 10 out of the 1,000 just for...
Yeah, he will.
I mentioned that. When you make your motion, kindly add that extra salt in my wounds. Yeah. Or right.
You don't want
balance,
us to...
Right that, after you just said I, to pass it as said, written. No.
So is it an extra zero or the comma in the wrong place?
Well, I was in the correct place. There's an extra zero, which apparently matters.
I would move that we consider the modification and adopt the modification to Cedar City Ordinance 26-V-2 pertaining to parking requirements for certain types of residential projects, with the change in the ordinance that it's 1,000 square feet.
Second.
I have a motion second, starting with, did I get to you, Wilkie?
Yeah. Yep, I went
starting
first.
Starting back to Phillips.
Aye.
Don't want to mess up my little part in this thing. Thank you. That's unanimous. Item number 13, consider a resolution for the revision of a 2024 and 2025 fiscal year budget.
There's nothing that's changed since last week.
I'd move that we adopt the revision for the 24-25 fiscal year budget.
Second. Councilman motion. Melling seconded.
Second.
Little. Starting with Mr. Melling.
Aye.
Good.
Mayor, I would move that we close this action meeting and move into a closed session.
We should probably go to RDA.
Oh, I was just trying to get out of here. So sorry.
Yeah, thanks.
I would move that we go into our RDA meeting.
Second.
I have a motion second.
Yeah, it's
all
here.
In favor?
Aye.
Oh, sorry. I guess you can take over. Tell
me. All right, let me know when we're ready, Renan.
It can still be pretty quick.
It can.
Well, it depends on what
you're okay.
Am I good?
You're okay to stay
here.
Stay.
We got one more quickie.
You don't have
one
to leave. This is interesting.
This is a quickie. This will really challenge you.
All
right, members of the council and mayor, I'm opening this action meeting for the redevelopment agency. We have one item on our agenda tonight, and that is to approve a resolution revising the 24-25 fiscal year budget. Mr. Bittman.
No changes.
I move that we approve the resolution revising the 2024-25 fiscal year budget.
Second.
I have a motion, and I now have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Oh, no, resolution. I got a roll call. Mayor Green.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0. I need a motion to adjourn this meeting.
I move that we adjourn this meeting and go back into our regular meeting.
I have a motion. Do I have a second to that?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Mayor, I move that we close this RDA meeting and action meeting and move into a closed session.
Second.
Third.
Aye.
Thank you all.
Got to be roll call to go into
closed. Roll call for closed session.
Aye.
Oh, aye.
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 We got it.